This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Bulldog and I having a conversation about whether, never mind. Should we? I'm sorry. I started.
It's not even a conversation. It's an argument. It's heated.
Nah. Really. I think Benito Santiago put his knee in the dirt behind the plate, and you're saying Tony Pena. I think Pena just stretched his one leg out.
So he was squatting, didn't have the right knee down, and had the left leg kicked out?
I think so.
Man, I remember Pena was the first guy I saw in a pose anything like that, but I can't remember if he had the knee down or not, like you're saying Santiago did or not.
Tony Pena played in the first professional baseball game I ever saw in person.
I believe that.
For the Bisons.
At the Rock Pile, right?
At the Rock Pile, 1979, I think.
Yeah.
Luis Salazar.
All right. Remember
Fred
that
Brining.
Name too.
Fred Brining. Mm. Sal Capaccio, Sal, you want to settle this one or do you want to just move on?
Okay, well, I'm listening, and as I'm listening, I Googled Benito Santiago Crouch. He has one knee down and one left leg out.
Okay.
Well, he has his knee on the ground, his left leg out.
No dispute. Tony Pena preceded him and had a similar style. Okay. We just don't know if he had the knee down or not.
I think he didn't.
Pena was the first guy I remember ever seeing with the leg kicked out, but I don't know if he had his knee down or not.
He was at a full. Actually, this is crazy. If you guys right now on your computers just type in Tony Pena Crouch, wow, he's really low. He's like doing the splits with his entire entire shin on the ground and his left leg out.
But his other knee is not touching the dirt.
No, his backside his leg.
I've got one for you that.
Wow.
It's tougher now because
that,
we started with Tony Pena.
Yeah, he's like sitting. Mike, his knee is on the ground. He's like, he's sitting.
All right.
Yes.
Let's review it.
Yeah, I think Santiago is more mobile. Pena isn't going anywhere. Like, his butt is on the ground.
I agree with that. Yeah. He's got to throw all arm, baby.
Right.
You can have it. You can have it.
All right.
Sal, I got one for you. I hope you like this. So, I don't know if you do, but I get the NBC PR emails every week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a former copy editor. It's an absolute nightmare because, like, the headline is 40 words, all in bold caps. Like, just, you know, it's like a Trump tweet. It's just terrible. So I look at them, though, and they're always like, here's the Sunday night game. We crushed the ratings, all the records. And this one today was about how Michael Keaton is, like, the star of their open for Sunday night football. It's the Jets at the Steelers, and he's from Pittsburgh. Right? And you know what, Sal? A light bulb went on for me. Because for all the, you know, mostly energy I put into trying to predict the schedule, and you love that too, and you've got your guy from the league, and we're trying to figure out which games are going to be the night games and everything. I bet it would be helpful to know, like, the movie release schedule. And Michael Keaton from Pittsburgh is hosting Saturday Night Live tomorrow. He's got two movies that are out right now, and he's got Sunday night. And I bet that's not a coincidence. I bet Pittsburgh would have been, you think I'm right?
This is like following Ed Sheeran's concert schedule for stadiums.
Yes, it is.
Oh, for sure.
I think we should, I want to say could have, but maybe should have. I'm feeling some support here. We maybe could have known that the Pittsburgh Steelers would be home on Sunday night in week 7 because of
Michael
Keaton.
I see what you're saying, but yeah. That'd be a tough one to figure out.
Yes.
Yeah. But you'd have to really put a puzzle together and go super deep into the rabbit hole. By the way, two things. Number one, you know, of all my conversations ever with Mike North, I finally met him for the first time at the Bills Ravens game. He was there and he was getting on the elevator. And I looked, I said, Mike, hey, Sal, how are you? And it's like one of those, man, we've talked virtually all these years. We've never said hi to each other in person, but he happened to be at the Ravens game. So we kind of talked a little bit about the schedule and, you know, things like that. And the second thing is, I had no idea until you just said this, but it totally makes sense to me that you were a copy editor at one point.
Oh, yeah. No, I was good at it in Rochester. But, you know, yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I take anybody who says that, I take that as a compliment. I don't know how possible it is to know when Beetlejuice is coming out, but if you did know that, you might put the puzzle together, like you said,
sure. And,
you know, have Pittsburgh at home this week. He's like Mr. Pittsburgh.
You guys all just laughed along, but it was Ed Sheeran a couple of years ago that was on a tour. He was playing in Foxborough or something. Okay, well, they can't be home this week because Ed Sheeran is there.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. All right.
Well, this year we were doing the whole thing about where Taylor Swift would be, and is that in conjunction with a Chiefs schedule? And she just so happens to be in Toronto right around the game with the Bills are playing. But that's really the only one. So when Mike Norris said on the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast that her schedule had no bearing on the Chiefs schedule, people kind of snickered because of that. But that really is the only game that there's something like that with her.
And she's there for a whole week, I think, right?
Like, or two.
Right. Just a run of shows there that are... For the scale, like in a stadium, unprecedented.
My brother-in-law's family in Toronto, they bought tickets to that, I feel like, 7 years ago.
Right.
So I guess that's coming up. All right, Sal, so here we go. Bills and Titans on Sunday, 1 o'clock. Before we get into the details, injury report and more, just what's your confidence level on this game? 9.5? This feels like a little bit of fresh air for the Bills, but is that a little bit dangerous to think like that?
I don't think so. I'm very confident right now. I think the vibes are good on this end for this game. I think it would be a major, major disappointment if the Bills didn't win this game and maybe comfortably to me. Now, they are a very good defense. There's no doubt about that. Like, you're going to have to maybe grind your way to get to your points. But I just don't know how the Titans with Will Levis are going to keep up and score with the Bills. And I think the Bills will have a couple short fields, probably a couple turnovers here or there. I mean, this is what Will Levis does. It just feels like the ultimate kind of storm coming back home for the Bills. First time in a month after a 2 out of 3 games, they get that good vibes feel after beating the Jets. They're healthy again. It just feels like everything is pointing towards the Bills should kind of really take this one pretty comfortably.
Does Levis showing up as questionable on the injury report give you, I don't know, a little bit like sad to see Tristan Jarry leave the game after giving up 3 goals on 5 shots on Wednesday in Pittsburgh? Sort of vibes like we were talking to Ben Arthur last hour, and like, I don't know. I know we all know who Mason Rudolph is, and, you know, he's not someone who would scare you, but he might be better than Levis at this point.
I mean, this is actually the way I felt about Minnesota with their quarterback change, right? J.J. McCarthy, as much as they wanted him to start, and it would have been better maybe long-term for them, they're a better team with Sam Darnold, right? I mean, now they're undefeated. So I totally get this vibe and what you're saying, Bulldog. But I just, at this point, I'm not concerned or thinking that he is not going to play. I know he's on the injury report with questionable, but it's weird. He went from limited to full to limited. Reading just some of the Titans people, it doesn't seem like there's anything kind of really there that would make you question if he's going to play or not. But at the same time, sure. I'd love to see Will Levis play because of that reason, what you said. Like, Will Levis is out there. I think the Bills can get him, and I think the Bills can get to him, and I think that they can get some turnovers. If he's not, I mean, geez, who's their backup? Who's their backup right now?
It's Mason Rudolph. That's why I said that. Yeah.
Mason Rudolph, there you go. Right. Yeah, the Bills played him in a playoff game. I mean, not that he's going to threaten you necessarily. I still think their offense is a bit limited. They're not going to have Treylon Burks. They're not going to have Tyjae Spears. So I still don't think that would be much of a threat to beat the Bills. I just think it might look different if that were the case.
Do you have anything more on Levis and just sort of his chances of making it in the league? Is he somebody that you, like, to put it one way, ever took seriously as a starting quarterback? I know people who did, and it started kind of excitingly with him, but is he somebody that would you bet against, you know, Will Levis being a starter in this league in like 2 years?
Ooh, I might bet against that, but that would only be because I've kind of landed more there. Like, I really liked some of the stuff he brought to the table. I've compared him to, you know, Josh Allen, rookie year, whatever. Bills fans didn't like that a few weeks ago because that's so disrespectful to Josh, right? But, you know, you get the point, right? That it's not that he's going to be Josh Allen. It's that he has these plays where, yeah, like, whoa, how did he make that?
I feel like
throw?
He's maybe like dollar store Josh Allen.
Yeah, right? Right? Like, to me, it was more of the comparison of he has these wow plays where you're like, wow, he's got some talent, and then he just makes some boneheaded decisions. But his boneheaded decisions have been way more, I think, infrequent. Or maybe the wild plays haven't been as much, right? And his trajectory just hasn't kind of stepped up. Where Josh, in his second year, you could see, here we go. Now you could see what he's got and he's bringing to the table. You could really start to feel that in 2019. Mike, you know, it's a really interesting question for me. I think the Josh Allen situation in Buffalo has had me really kind of shift my paradigm on all things with this stuff, which is, and it's probably too far. I've probably gone too far this way. But I am so entrenched in how much situation matters now to these guys, because I really believe that Josh Allen would not be Josh Allen without the structure in place the Bills gave him, without the continuity they had, without the plan they had, without Brian Daboll being here, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, everything that they put into that. And I've always said, and I believe, Sam Darnold would have been a good quarterback in Buffalo. I don't think he'd be Josh Allen, but I think he would have been good here because of all of that. And I don't think Josh Allen would be nothing. He'd be anything like he is now if he had gone to the Jets because of how they kind of ruined him. And I just look at these places around the league where it just seems like they're ruining quarterbacks and it's not great structure and the people around them, the plan they have in place. And I then look at Tennessee. I mean, honestly, like, it feels like Brian Callahan hates him, right? Like, he doesn't even want him playing sometimes. And I just don't know how conducive that is for him to develop.
Plus, to that end, you've got guys who've kind of come out the other side, like Darnold or Mayfield or Geno, like guys who have come out the other side and they seem to have maybe, I mean, it's always kind of week to week, but benefited from the experience. And I don't know, maybe there's a point here that if a team had slow played it, I don't want to be the one to say it, a little bit more than they did. I mean, Darnold's an interesting example because, I mean, he was kind of doomed from the beginning. He didn't have.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Have stability at all. He had the opposite.
That's exactly right.
You know? And it's also, like the Bills, that was a franchise that had just had very little success. But still, I mean, the coach was Todd Bowles. And he had to win that year or else he was out. And guess what happened?
Right.
And so that is definitely big. There's no doubt about it.
That's probably a reason why you don't rush it. Like, you know, certainly we all would have liked it if Sean McDermott had seen his way to drafting Patrick Mahomes and he were the Bills quarterback. That probably would have worked out, the structure and all the stuff here. But they kicked the can down the road a year to not sort of, you know, not hurry it. Like, let's make sure we get a guy that we know we really want to work with. And, you know, yes, you miss on Mahomes that way, but being patient worked that way. The Jets were in a position where they had to do it, but they had a coach, like Mike just said, that was already, the meter was running out on him. So it's a very different situation. You got probably all kinds of division in the building, people trying to, you know, get on the right side of things, so to speak, for when the guy gets fired. You know, let me make sure I make camp with the guy that's going to still be here and not this guy. And that's just no way to bring a new guy in.
That's right. I'm thinking back to, like, we'd all probably agree that there was a pretty defining moment in Josh's career. It came very early in his second year. It was that New England game, right? Remember at home, Brian Daboll really getting on him, the Zay Jones game, where Zay Jones didn't fight for a ball. Josh just threw balls up haphazardly and threw three interceptions. I'm looking at the box score now. Bills lose 16-10 because of a blocked punt. They have a great game on defense. And, like, they were bringing him along, but at some point it came there. There was a come to Jesus moment, right, with Brian Daboll. And, like, you just can't put us in these situations. You just can't do that. And he was upset with him on the sidelines. I remember that. And I'm thinking about this is now where we are, literally, like, that same time period with Will Levis, right? At some point, I get it, Brian Callahan's been on him.
Yeah.
But, you know, at some point, like, there's got to be a shift in how the person has to grow from one extreme or where they are to at least have some growth there. And I remember that moment. And then you look at the next several games, and Josh was just a better quarterback after that. He didn't turn the ball over quite nearly as much the rest of the year. It looks like he only had three interceptions the whole rest of the year. I think that's what they're waiting on for that to happen. And when is that going to happen if it does with Will Levis?
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline helping preview Bills Titans Sunday at 1 o'clock in Orchard Park. Should be a beautiful day, beautiful weekend, really. Should be great. Hope folks can get out and enjoy it. And of course, enjoy the game on Sunday too. Sounds like Amari Cooper is going to play. What should expectations be, Sal?
I think expectations should be for him to, if he's going to play, which it sounds like he is, they're not just going to, you know, put him on the sidelines, I think. He's going to have a handful of plays, probably things that they've just really specifically worked on this week and said, here's a package of plays for you. There's about 15, you know, 12, 15 things we can do here, just whatever, or 12, 15 snaps maybe. And in those snaps, there's this limited number of things that we can do, but you know, he's a veteran. He can adjust things on the fly if they need to. I'm sure that they were working on different kinds of, you know, certain formations and packages. They feel comfortable with him against this specific defense, and that's what I would expect. So I wouldn't doubt that. I mean, it could even be like red zone. Hey, maybe he scores, right? Hey, we're going to put you in the red zone a couple times, you know, and maybe he can help out there. Not that they've had any trouble. But maybe that could be something specific for him. Certain third and long situations maybe. But I think that's what you're looking at. Your normal first and 10, second down and medium. I don't know if you'll see him as much, but maybe you're just working on specific situations where you put him in and he's saying, in these situations, we want you on the field, and this is what we're going to try and do.
This New England game you referenced was from early 2019. Frank Gore, senior, went over 100 yards for the Bills in this game. This is the game, I think, Bulldog, where Allen left with maybe a head injury, and we all thought he'd come right back and didn't come back. It was Matt Barkley who went in for him that day, just looking at that now as well. Segue, Frank Gore Jr., Sal, possibly here. We've got Cook back, but Davis is hampered. I wonder what you think Davis is. From talking to Sean McDermott today, Davis's chances are, and would it be Frank Gore Jr. elevated as last week?
So Davis is officially questionable. A calf injury popped up on the injury report. Sean did indicate that the injury was from Monday night's game, though, when he was with me on the Extra Point Show. He kind of mentioned that it popped up during the game. But we didn't get anything from that on Wednesday during the walkthrough. So Thursday is limited. So it doesn't feel like it's anything happened in practice, although certainly he could have re-aggravated it in practice, right? But I think the where it started was Monday night. He didn't really kind of give an indication of if he's super confident he's going to play or not. We'll see how it goes kind of thing, you know, see where the next couple of days go with this. So they have a couple of days. We'll figure it out. If that is the case, that he does not play, if that isn't the case, then yes, certainly Frank Gore. Now, they do have Darrington Evans they could activate. The problem there would be, or the issue, you activate Darrington Evans, you have to create a roster spot for him. You don't have to do that with Frank Gore, obviously. You could just elevate him from the practice squad. Darrington right. Evans, if everybody looks at the injury report, it might be a little confusing because Darrington Evans is actually listed as doubtful. The reason why he's even on the injury report is they changed the rule a couple years ago that if a guy's practice window is open, even if he's on IR, you have to list his status for possibly playing that week. It's not that he's injured, but he's coming back from injury, so you have to do that. It's just so teams don't play games with a guy that's coming back on his practice window's open, and then suddenly, bam, he's playing, and the other team didn't prepare for him. So that's why he's listed there.
Okay. So Darrington Evans revenge game narrative back to life a little bit, breathing a little bit of life into the possibility that the former Titan
barely
plays against Tennessee here. All right. Did you know, Sal, before Monday night, and maybe you did because you're Sal Capaccio, that Josh Allen is on the longest streak of starts for any quarterback in the NFL?
Yes, I've known that, and I've been mentioning that since really the offseason when people always have us on. You know, we do these radio spots or TV spots around the country, and people love to tell us how much Josh Allen's going to get hurt because of the way he plays. And my natural response is, well, do you know that he has the longest starting streak of any quarterback in the NFL, and he's been playing like that since he came in the league?
Right. So he's got the, in this case, advantage of playing a couple of these week 17 or 18 games that didn't matter, where maybe he could have sat, where like Mahomes didn't do that. Lamar Jackson hasn't always done that, but still. I mean, it's a pretty good run. I didn't realize this until Monday night, so they're not apparently asking me that question. But, yeah, it's pretty good.
And Monday, I believe, Monday was his 100th game, and this will be his 100th start. So he didn't start that first game that he played against the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, and it was like maybe this is 95 in a row right about there because there was a break when he got hurt in Houston.
Yes, that something year. Like that. That's right.
Okay. Bulldog, anything else?
Before you go, Bulldog, I think we should mention for the Titans, they do have a couple notable injuries, guys. Mm-hmm. Especially today, it was revealed Treylon Burks is not going to play. He was injured in practice this week. Now, obviously, things haven't gone well for him anyway, right? It's not like he's been this really productive player, but obviously a player a lot of us are familiar with from that draft class a few years ago. He's not going to play. He's been ruled out. He had an injury. He's going to go on injured reserve, most likely. Tajay Spears is not going to play. In this game, Keandre Coburn is not going to play. He's a defensive lineman. And L'Jarius Sneed, on top of Will Levis, mm-hmm. L'Jarius Sneed is questionable, and he hasn't really done much all week, actually. Let me just see on him. He did not practice actually at all this week, so I'd be a little surprised if L'Jarius Sneed plays in this game.
Did you? Can you bring yourself to appreciate how great a baseball game that was last night, even though your team ended up on the wrong side? They still have a 2-1 lead, so you know, you're not in real trouble yet. But holy cow, Sal.
That's why I can appreciate it more, because it wasn't like a series winning situation where I'm just like, I don't want to hear about it, right? Like, yes, because I still feel good about being up 2-1, although I'm not sure how much I trust Louis Heal, but he can be really great at times or a disaster. Tonight. Yeah, listen, I was at an event last night with Stevie Johnson, and I had it on my phone. And we were doing a show, and I had the game on, and the Yankees were up 5-3. I was following along, two outs of the ninth. And I said, oh, 5-3. And Stevie looks at me and says, oh, they got this. It's wrapped up. I said, Stevie, don't do that. You never know. And sure enough, I look, it's 5-5. And, oh, my God, right? And I didn't realize, like, I knew they had a home run. And then the event's ending, and just as I get in my car, I turn it on, and they had hit the game-winning home run. And they go to Tim Kirkchen of ESPN. I'm listening on ESPN radio. And Tim Kirkchen says, I've been covering this league for 40 years. That's the greatest playoff game I've ever been to.
Stevie Johnson, a baseball guy?
He is not, but his daughter plays softball. So he's gotten into it a little bit more, he said. You know, he's kind of understanding. He's not a big baseball guy himself, but he's starting to kind of pay attention a little bit more. And, you know, he knew. And he apologized. He's like, oh, after that happened, he's like, oh, my God, I said it was over. I'm sorry. I'm like, that's why you don't do that.
Right. I thought the same thing. Your closer came in the eighth to put the fire out, and I was tired. And I'm like, all right, they probably, this guy's going to mow him down in the ninth. I'm out. And, you know, obviously I missed out. So I was with Stevie there, I guess. I thought it was
over.
Did
you see the video of their stadium from, like, several blocks away that someone posted?
I did, yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's super cool, right? So it's just like this still video of like downtown Cleveland. The stadium's right there, and all it is the audio of the stadium, and you hear the crowd kind of rumbling. And then you hear the crescendo of the crowd and the fireworks go off, and it's pretty cool. And even though my team lost, yes, Bulldog, to answer your question, I have a great appreciation for how cool that was last night.
The swings are just intoxicating with October baseball. Even in this game that's just started, top of the first, Dodgers, second and third, no outs.
Right, yeah.
Three straight outs.
Marte's booting the ball out in right field, and yeah.
Three straight outs, and then Alonso just hit a three-run homer in the bottom of the first. So 3-0 Mets. Very good. Sal, enjoy the game Sunday. We'll talk next week.
Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, you too. That's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline, and his appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Your thoughts on Bills Titans are welcome. 803-0550, Football Friday. Open lines until 6, and of course, picks, which takes, I mean, absolute precedence. But those are the rules. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.